Indiana Bible College is committed to training tomorrow's apostolic leaders today, and this is the IBC Podcast. Today on the podcast, we have our academic dean, Reverend Jennifer Mast, sitting down to share what she's passionate about, how she got to be academic dean, and a little bit about the academic changes happening at Indiana Bible College. We trust you'll enjoy this interview, but also if you enjoy good apostolic content, we know you will enjoy the online doctrine workshop. This is an apostolic doctrine focused set of lectures taught by our on-campus instructors. This is a free online workshop that you can register for at go2ibc.com/doctrine. Sign up today. These lectures will be available for a limited period of time. Right now, let's get to know Reverend Jennifer Mast. Sister Mast, thank you so much for joining us here on the IBC Podcast. It's wonderful to have you. You are our academic dean here at Indiana Bible College. Before that, you were the registrar. Now, tell us a little bit about how you got here and even how you moved into this current role that you're in.
First of all, it's very nice to have the opportunity to come and chat with you today. I actually have grown up at Calvary Tabernacle. Our family got in church when I was about 5 years old. And so I've always been around IBC, always intended to attend IBC, but I never really had IBC on the radar as a young person as somewhere that I thought I would ever be working. However, God kind of orchestrated things when I first walked in the door. I started out, actually, oddly enough, running the daycare during the summer when I was 18 years old for the IBC staff members. And then second semester, my freshman year, I came on and began working with the individual, Reverend Talmadge French, who was at that time our Dean of Biblical Studies. And I became his research assistant slash secretary slash teaching assistant slash gopher. And after I graduated, I spent a summer kind of vacillating, not quite knowing where I was going to land or what God was going to do with my life, trying to determine what the next step would be. I assumed the next step would be quite different than it actually ended up being. And God kind of put some things on hold, and I had that summer of faith, and then God opened the door for me to come on full-time at IBC. And then I began teaching a number of years later for the Biblical Studies Department, ended up moving into the registrar position, and from there just took over the role as academic dean.
Yeah, well, are you interested in babysitting again? Because we have so many babies here at IBC.
It's crazy. I do love children. I absolutely love children, but I don't know that I want to go back to having 10 or 12 kids on my own, especially as a 17-year-old or 18-year-old.
Well, we'll look elsewhere. You have other things to do.
Well, I do I do love Rhett. He's a sweetheart, so anytime.
I agree, but I don't even want to watch him all day. So anyway, shout out to Rhett. Of course, biblical languages is one of your expertise areas. Is that what you first started teaching when you came on?
It actually is. We didn't have anybody at the time to teach biblical languages, so I took some additional classes. And oddly enough, I've always been attuned to language. I took, attempted to take Greek out of a PACE in high school at Calvary Christian School as an elective. So I've always been a little odd in that sense. And then working with Brother French, he's a language guru, and that sharpened me quite a bit. And so that actually is the first class I taught, and we laugh about it now, but I actually had Brother Henderson in my very first Hebrew class, and we're almost the same age, so that was a unique experience.
No, I do remember being in your Greek class, and I think your B was generous, very generous. I know you still enjoy biblical languages a lot, you still teach that, but what else have you taught, and what do you like teaching here most?
I do still teach the biblical language classes. I also team teach Introduction to the Bible with another one of our staff members. And then I do several exegetical classes, which the exegetical classes are probably my favorite, simply because it pairs together doing a little bit of that language study and then actually bringing the student to an understanding of the text, which is a lot of fun. I've done everything from the Foundations of Personal Finance class several years ago. I'm glad I shed that one. I love Dave Ramsey, don't get me wrong, but the financial side isn't probably my favorite thing to teach.
I enjoy that, but okay.
Yeah, well, more power to you. Yeah. We'll let you teach that next time around.
There you go.
But that being said, I've done Gospel of John, I've done General Epistles, Romans and Galatians, Intro to the Bible, Intro to Biblical Languages, Greek, Hebrew. I'm probably missing a few things in there, but a little bit of this and a little bit of that, basically.
Yeah. You are also a voracious reader, it's so funny. I remember one of the last times you were preaching, you were sharing something out of your journal, and we all thought, oh my goodness, just your prose that you just come up with on the spot is like beautiful literature, poetry. We're like, oh my goodness. So what do you like to read? Where do you get that love? What is your favorite type of reading to do?
First of all, that's a very kind compliment, and I thank you for that. You're probably being a bit too gracious there, but I do appreciate
it. That was not even my comment. That was Brother Galleon, I think, you commented on that.
In terms of what I like to read, I will read just about anything. As a child, I probably was quite annoying, to be honest with you. If I ran out of reading materials, I would go get out the... Now, I'm dating myself, but I would get out the Yellow Pages or the White Pages. Do you know how many Smiths there are in the greater Indianapolis area? And my mother would just look at me and shake her head and say, do we need to go to the bookstore? And I'd say, yes, please. So I like to read absolutely anything, and I typically have a lot of books going at once. I try to finish them, don't always finish all of them. I love history. I love biography. I love classic literature, of course, theology and Bible. That's part of my heartbeat. But anything that discusses the human condition, discusses how we should approach life, the lens through which we approach life, whether that's on the literature and poetry side or whether that's on the theological side, I love it.
Yeah. In the IBC Perspectives right now, they're doing a section on books that staff recommends and why reading is important. Of course, we have a book trip each year. Why do you think reading is important?
Reading sharpens you. You learn to interact both with those things that resound with your own personal worldview and with the way that you understand life and the human experience. But there are also things that are going to conflict with that, and it helps sharpen you to better understand the other side of the playing field and other perspectives so that you can better interact with humanity. Literature, writing, whether it be fiction or nonfiction, really interacts with the reality of humanity and the human condition and helps us better understand who we are and how we relate to one another and how we're meant to relate to God. So I think reading is absolutely pivotal. I think increasing your understanding is incredibly pivotal. James talks about our responsibility to pray for wisdom, but I truly believe that we have to be part of that experience. There's no excuse for an ignorant Christian, for someone who does not pursue knowledge and understanding. And I don't think that it's a wise choice to pray for wisdom and then do nothing to help grow that wisdom and cultivate that wisdom. And I think God put some of the responsibility on us, not only to pray, but also to pursue wisdom in all things. Growing up, my mom would oftentimes say that a day when you have not learned something is a day wasted. And it doesn't have to be something huge. It can be the most minute detail. It can be something simplistic about nature or something simplistic about science or about theology or about yourself. But you should always pursue knowledge and understanding. And of course, reading is one of the most powerful ways to do that. There's a vastless depth of human knowledge and understanding and experience that will never be completely tapped. And so as much as we can tap into that, I think it's beneficial.
Now, you as a person outside of IBC, outside of even reading, what do you like to do for fun?
Well, we've already mentioned reading, which of course I do enjoy. I think that just about every IBC staff member would put that near the top of their list. Oddly enough, even though I'm not incredibly musically inclined, I absolutely love music, everything from the classical age forward. I do try to play around on the guitar a little bit. I'm not very advanced. I know a few chords and can pick out a few songs, but anything beyond that is beyond my grasp at the moment, but hopefully one day. I do love hiking. I love exploration of any type, whether it's travel. I've been to a few other countries, not as many as I would like, but I have been to a few other countries. But even exploration within the state or local states, there's always historical sites to see, museums to visit, places where you can learn something new and really increase your understanding of the world around you. I do like to play basketball a little bit. Don't do that as often as I did when I was much younger, but I do like to shoot hoops on occasion.
So you're a true Hoosier.
That I am.
Okay.
Through and through.
So, Sister Mast, you're the academic dean. That's been something that has been officially given to you in this past year or so. And part of your responsibility has been restructuring the academics here. We're changing curriculum, subtracting, adding. We've got deans in cooperation. We're adding a fourth major. What has not only the process has been like, but more importantly, why are those changes happening? What will that do for students?
Well, I think Indiana Bible College has always done an excellent job of producing some of the finest apostolic leaders in our movement. We've seen that at multiple levels, whether we're talking about the missionaries that are being sent out into the field, whether we're talking about church planters, youth pastors, people on youth committees, pastors, so on and so forth. So adding the Christian leadership major, I feel like it's just kind of a natural progression with that. So it's taking what we've already done and fine-tuning it and really bringing in those minor elements that may be missing a little bit in order to produce the best leaders that we possibly can. Leaders who are not just able to lead an organization or lead a team, but are also solid theologically and biblically.
So in addition to the major, which the major is an important addition, but even beyond that, there's even a core 50, and there's maybe streamlining of classes. What's been going on there? Can you talk to that?
Basically, what we did is we tried to take a look at our classes from a high-level view and determine what classes were necessary for the students to succeed in education, in life, and in ministry. And so we took those basic foundational theological classes that were pivotal. We took the classes such as English composition and research and writing, speech, psychology, sociology, that would be part of the general ed at any institution, and enrolled those into the Core 50, as well as specific classes that are going to give them the keys that they need to be successful in the ministry that God has called them to.
Sure. So, for example, if somebody leaves this institution, they need to have some of those basic college success, life success classes, but also doctrine. I don't think the goal should be for anybody to leave a Bible college and not be clear on what they think. What are some of those core doctrine classes that people will take in that Core 50?
Okay, so we have classes such as soteriology, which is the doctrine of salvation, Christology, that is going to give a high-level view of the Godhead and who Christ is. We have a class that deals with holiness and what holiness or how holiness is defined. We have classes like New Testament Survey, Old Testament Survey, that are going to give a basic understanding of the entirety of the Old Testament and New Testament. And then we fine-tune it even further by requiring them to take a Life of Christ type of course, as well as a course that delves specifically into one of the Old Testament sections, such as the Pentateuch or the poetic books or the latter prophets, former prophets. So it's really well-rounded, and that's just a few of the classes. There are multiple others as well, but it's extremely well-rounded, balanced between theology and then, of course, Old Testament and New Testament studies.
Sister Mast, when a student comes here, or let's even take it back a step, a student who is thinking, yeah, probably not Bible college, but then they feel something else, some kind of tug to what they don't know, they just feel God prompting them for their next step. What would you tell them concerning that next step forward, Bible college or not?
So I would tell that student to seek the counsel of God. The Bible says that there is wisdom in the multitude of counselors. Talk to their leadership at their local church. I would argue that Bible college is never a bad option. It's always going to be a good option, whether you end up going into full-time ministry, part-time ministry, or you end up ministering as a saint on a pew who is doing outreach. Bible college is always a good choice. Oftentimes young people feel like Bible college is only for those who are going to stand in a pulpit and preach, or only those who are going to step on foreign soil, or only for those that are going to lead a choir or lead worship. And the reality is that Bible college will give you the foundation that you need to better understand how to navigate life in general. It'll give you the foundation that you need to better understand how to interact with the various worldviews out there. It'll give you the ability to better understand how to reach the lost. And of course, that's the goal of any Christian. That's part of the Great Commission. And that's not just for those who are in a leadership position within a church, but for every saint, every individual who is filled with the Holy Spirit.
That's really well said. I think that for me, now I'll just give a commercial and a testimony for me here for a second. I was already had years in a secular school before I considered Indiana Bible College. I came here under the one-year bachelor program. And even in that case, that helped me solidify a worldview and how to discern ideas. I don't think we talk about that almost detox benefit of a one-year bachelor as much as we could. Do you mind speaking to that as well?
Yes, and your testimony actually reflects the testimony that we hear time and again from those that come for the one-year bachelor's or the two-year bachelor's program. It's interesting that oftentimes when we're immersed in a secular education or even a secular workplace, that it's difficult sometimes for us to recognize how much some of the worldviews and how much some of the ideologies have seeped into our own thinking. And so that one-year bachelor's, that two-year bachelor's allows a little point of separation so you can kind of run everything through the sieve, so to speak, and determine what you believe at the core of your being and what in your belief system aligns with Scripture and what does not align with Scripture so that you can figure out ultimately how you want to live the next years of your life.
Sister Mass, thank you so much for being with us, for your time. It's been wonderful.
Thank you. It has been a blast.
Thanks for joining us for that interview with Sister Jennifer Mast. This episode is coming to a close, but I want to remind you before we let you go, register for the online Doctrine Workshop to catch the first release of those lectures beginning August 10th all the way through the Friday of August 13th. Those lectures will be available for just a short period of time after that point. Go to the website, go2ibc.com/doctrine, and reserve your spot today for free. If you need that registration link again, you can find it on the Indiana Bible College website as well as in the show notes.